Hi, welcome to Just Friend Zone. I'm Kevin.
I'm Jackie.
I'm Josh.
I'm Damien.
So we're all together, obviously, since we all said hi. I was talking with these guys and realizing that one of the things that we always talk about doing as a podcast is creating this area where people can come and feel like they're just talking with their friends, or they're just listening in on a conversation with their friends. And I think the word friends can be very loaded for some people. That word itself, friends, it has trauma. And for some people, it's something that they've never had to think twice about because they've always had friends in their life. And so one thing that we wanted to do today was to actually come together and come on the podcast and really talk about what friendship means to us, and what it means to have, you know, been friends with each other. So with that being said, you know, we've already talked about what it, like how we all got to be friends with each other. You know, Josh and I, we grew up together. Jackie, we met her during COVID. Damien and I went to high school. And so we've talked about that. But what does it mean for us to actually continue to choose to be friends with each other at this stage of our lives? I think that one thing people always talk about is as you get older, you have less and less friends. And so, you know, it's a conscious decision to choose to keep the people in your life that are in your life. And so we want to talk about that today. So with that, anybody want to start us off with talking about why are we still together, guys?
You make it sound like we're all supposed to break up. Why are we still together?
It's like, you know, the K-pop, they have that 7-year curse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're approaching, what is it, like 3 years? So we got 4 more years, guys.
I feel like that's a loaded question.
Right. It is.
I mean, it's not, but it is at the same time, kind of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the easiest way to start off is we share a lot of common interests where we all like playing similar video games. We all like hanging out with each other. We're all within, you know, close proximity of each other. So it's kind of easy for us to, you know, spend as much time as we do just because the more time that you spend with each other, the more that your care and love grows for each other. So I think there's a natural progression of things when you find people who have similar interests. And that's my piece that I'll chip in for now. Anyone else want to step in?
For me, because I feel like it's hard for me to make friends, especially because some people are fake. And it's like, oh, yeah, they'll act nice. But then, you know, like, oh, like you can tell that they're not genuine. Mm. Like, sadly, I don't really keep in contact with any of my supposed friends that I had during high school. Like after we all graduated and everything, like I did my part to try to keep contact with them and like, oh yeah, let's hang out, let's do this. But they never hit me up for anything. So then I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. You know, like I'm just going to give up. But then for us, I think we stayed friends for this amount of time. And I hope that we're stuck with each other for the rest of our lives. Because we vibe so well, like there's no like bad feelings toward any one of us. And like, I don't know, every time we hang out, it's just always a good time.
Yeah, I'll give Jackie credit for always being the one who comes to us. I think I've said it before, but we really need to go to Jackie's area. But yeah.
It's funny when Jackie comes like to our, like our, my hood, our hood, right? She always texts me, Jackie, in your area?
Yeah, I do.
Every time she texts that, I always think of, like, Blackpink, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They basically tell me to move down there.
I mean, what's stopping you? I think, you know, let's give this conversation a bit more structure, and let's go with starting from a timeline. Damien brought this up before we started recording, and he was saying, you know, like a lot of people actually, you know, Damien, do you just want to ask the question yourself?
Sure, sounds good. So everyone remembers their first friend. It's kind of a pivotal moment in your development as a person, development in your childhood. and everyone can remember a time where, like, that was my first best friend. And, you know, sometimes we keep in touch with them, sometimes we don't. So I guess, like, the question I'm posing to the group is, what do you guys remember as your first best friend moment? And what is, like, something that you cherish about that friendship, whether it's still in your life or not?
So, like, our very first friend.
Yeah, exactly. So, Josh, did you want to start with that?
Shoot, I don't even remember his name.
Right, you can even just tell the story. Like, you don't even necessarily just what you remember, what you cherish from it.
I remember his face, but I don't remember his name. But so for me, I went to school. I went to a private school from like kindergarten to first grade, and then it got too expensive, so I go to public school. But I remember being very scared to go to school because at home I speak only Korean as a kid, right? I didn't really have experience to learn English because my parents, I mean, my dad's English is decent, but my mom's is kind of like not so good. And coming from an immigrant family, I think it's just kind of Korean is the only language that I spoke as a child, right? And so I remember being terrified to going to school. And then my mom's like, well, you have to go to school, you're of age, get out of here, kind of thing. So she dropped me off at my school, and I remember being terrified and not knowing how to speak English. And then I think for me, the friend that I made, I don't remember like how we became friends, but I remember being very sad when I had to leave the school. And so I think that kind of hits a part to me where it's like, even at a young age, knowing that I was going to a different school than the year after, like how that can affect someone as like within the friendship. Like, I was like, oh shoot, that's very like, when I think about it, I'm like, how, I didn't even know the person. Oh, like the kid that much. Right. As we're growing up, like it was kind of like, oh yeah, we hung out every single day, went to school together. But like, if you think about it now, your friendships that you have now is so much more meaningful than just school friends in first grade. And so I think for me, like the first memory was of like having a really close friend was when I actually had to leave. And it was like, oh shoot. It sucks. Cause like now I have to go somewhere new again. Cause when I went to kindergarten and first grade, it was like the same school. Mm-hmm. Like now mm-hmm. I have to go somewhere new to meet new friends. And I think the fear of that was that, I don't know if I answered your question, but that's my first memory of like,
no, that's a good answer.
Having a friend, but it was leaving that friend. Right. Mm-hmm. So.
I actually have like three impactful memories as a kid, as far as first friends. So when I was younger, my mom was a single mom. For the most part, my parents were going through a tough time and she was basically raising us on her own. And, you know, she had to work from like 7 a.m. to like 7 p.m. kind of thing. And we wouldn't see her until later. So the first friend that I made was actually one that me and my siblings made, was actually when we were dropped off to daycare at, you know, this babysitter within the neighborhood of the elementary school that we were going to. And her name was Hetty, Kevin, if you remember, from high school.
I do remember.
And it was funny because she spoke so softly that we thought, when she introduced herself, we thought her name was Pepsi. And the whole day, we just, like, called her Pepsi. And there was a one point at the end of the day where she just blew up. And she was like, my name is not Pepsi. It's Hetty. It's Hetty. So, that was probably the first friend that I remember, as far as like that comes to mind, and how, you know, basically that's someone that I was able to grow up with, you know, because like, you know, I went through elementary, middle school, high school together with her, and we only drifted apart until after high school when, you know, she went to school down here and I went to San Francisco State, and then we just kind of like naturally just shifted away from each other. But I've actually been trying to hit her up again and just try to see if I could reconnect with her and see how she's doing. And just for us to catch up, we were able to catch up like once after I moved back from San Francisco down to here, but Yeah, it's been a little while since, so just trying to make sure I get back in touch with her.
Mm-hmm. Jackie?
I was like, is it me? My first best friend is actually my older brother, Donovan.
Lame. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
We don't like that sibling love out here.
Like that. But yeah, my first best friend was my older brother, Donovan. We are only a year apart. So I do have a lot of childhood memories with him. Like, my first memory of, like, even being alive, as far as I can think back, like, my vision was blurry. And I was like, oh, it's because I was crying. I was crying because he was leaving me at home to go to kindergarten.
Okay, that's really cute.
I was like, he's leaving me. I'm all like, you can't go. And my aunt's like 7 in the morning. My aunt was like, he has to go to school. He'll be back later. And I'm like, no, can't leave me. That's as far as I could think back. But like, I have so many childhood memories with him. Like, we'd always play in the backyard. Like, we would actually go on, like, Pokemon adventures in our backyard. And, like, he narrates the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love because I can't narrate for shit. But yeah, my first best friend is actually my brother. I know. Sibling love.
That's very sweet.
Cute.
I don't know why, but I feel like Jackie's going to cry this episode.
Maybe. I'm sensitive.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. I'll probably try not to get too emotional either. Yeah, you know, I don't like crying, so I'm determined to never cry in front of my friends. So we'll see how that goes.
I will cry easily anytime, any day. Like, it could be one of those stupid pet commercials or something about a mom or something about, you know, those Thai life insurance commercials. Any one of those things could be like super triggering for me to just start bawling out.
Okay. I'm a crybaby.
Yeah. Okay. This is not related to the topic at hand, but I remember there being this one, I think it was a Chinese commercial, but it was like this girl talking about like, oh, like my dad is Superman. My dad is the best. He works hard. He's so smart. All these things. And
but
then,
he's a liar.
But he's a liar. And then it's like, the whole premise of the commercial, Josh, since you look confused, is that like her dad is reading this letter that she wrote. And then he's reading like all these things about himself. And he's like, oh, like he's all smiley and happy that like she thinks these things about it, because he's a single dad. Mm-hmm. And then he's rating her on his own. And then at the line where it says, but daddy's a liar, like you see him go like really confused and he looks, and then his daughter turns and then he keeps reading. And it basically says he's a liar because he works like 3 jobs, but he pretends like he's never tired. He's a liar because he acts like he's never hungry. He acts like he's never wants to eat just so I can eat it as much as I want to eat. Like, all these things. Yeah. So like, that's like the whole like commercial. And then like, I remember watching it and like bawling. I think I was like still in high school.
Dude, no, like, the line that got me was the very last one where it was like, he lies because of me.
Yeah.
Oh. My question is, what is this commercial for?
It's like appreciating like the sacrifice of your parents.
Oh, it's not a commercial for something else.
It's just like an ad. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so that's the whole commercial. And then I remember like seeing that commercial, bawling, and then like as soon as I was done crying, I like closed my laptop and I went and like hugged my dad in his room, and he was like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. Did you hug him and you're like, you're a liar, dad?
No, I just told him I love you, and that was the first time I ever told my dad that I loved him. So it was like one of those things where it's like you realize how much your parents sacrificed for you, you know? So yeah. Anyway, getting back to the topic at hand. I can actually remember, like, I had like a group of friends when I was in elementary school, because I went to the same school from kindergarten to second grade. And then after that, I started moving everywhere. But I had the same group of friends for those 3 years. And I remember their names. It was Ashraf, Gary, and Kevin. So we had two Kevins. But I remember that.
We have two Kevins here.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. But I remember like not being consciously aware of this, but then like in hindsight, because Ashraf was Muslim. Gary was black, and then Kevin was also Asian. So it was like a very diverse friend group, you know? And I remember like not thinking about that consciously, but just being kids and then being like, oh, wow, like that's so like interesting, because I feel like it's almost like you don't really see that as often. People kind of tend to stick to their monoliths after a while. So it's just interesting to me to think about that. But I remember that. And then like after I moved, not really thinking consciously about like the fact that I was never going to see these people again. I was actually not sad when I moved schools, because it was like, if anything, the only thing I was upset about was there was this girl I had a crush on, and I was like, oh, I'm never going to see that girl again. That was the only thing I was sad about. But plot twist, we reconnected randomly like 15 years later. I was graduating college at the time. And then she was working at Disneyland, and I just randomly happened to like run into her because she was like one of the food people, like the people that take your order, you know? And then so like this is when I had an annual pass. So I hand her the annual pass to take the discount off my food order. And then she looks at the name on the thing and she goes, hi, this is gonna be really random, but did you go to, you know, this elementary school? And then I was like, yes. And she's like, hi, like, my name is so-and-so. I was like, no freaking way. Like, what are the odds of that happening? So, yeah, we reconnected. We talked about how we both had crushes on each other at the time. And then we gave it a shot for, like, a couple of weeks, a month or so. And then it was kind of like, oh, like, we're different people. We can be friends, but probably not. But, yeah. Yeah. That was cool. Yeah, it was like a Korean drama moment, you know?
That's a very meet cute.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like the interesting thing.
I don't know why, but like when you said, yeah, I gave her my my card, right? I don't know. Before you said it was gonna be like a Korean drama thing, I just thought of like, you know, when Korean dramas end and then they play the music and then I don't know why. It's just like I imagined you giving your card to her and then just the music plays and it just next episode, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's where the episode ends. And you're like, no, I have to know. Yeah. Yeah. I think like a lot of people like pointed that out to me, like in the moment when I told them the story about like that I'd reconnected with her that way. And they were like, wow, it sounds like a Korean drama. So yeah.
Sounds like you guys didn't have enough inyeon.
Enough onion?
Inyeon?
Inyeon?
Oh, you're talking about that thing from past lives?
Yeah.
I was like, huh?
It was very past lives when you were explaining it. So I was just like, maybe you guys don't have that 8,000 layers that they were talking about.
Yeah, we only had 4,000 apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Moving on from this topic, I guess, of like our early friendships. I think, well, I guess not moving on from, but building on. How do you guys think that like the way you related to people in your early friendships, how do you think that affected the way that you would go on to really, how did that shape the way you saw friendships going forward? And this doesn't have to be just from like that first friendship, right? But like the early friendships that you did form, like for example, right, for me, like I said, after second grade, I moved around constantly. So I would basically make friends for a year, move, never talk to those people again. And then I just have to make a whole new set of friends. And then that kept happening over and over because I was either moving to a new city, moving to a new state. So I was just never around the same people until I finally got to high school. And so the way that shaped the way I saw friendships in high school was like, okay, like we can be friends. Like I'll be friends with you and I'll pour everything that I can for this 1 year, but I'm fully expecting us not to be friends the next year. So to me, it was like all my friendships, essentially, I viewed them all as rentals. It was like, yeah, like I'll be your friend and I'll be there for you, but I'm fully expecting it to be like whenever things go our separate ways, like I'll never talk to you again. And then, but that being said, it was also very much like a, just because we go our separate ways doesn't mean I harbor any ill feelings towards you. Like I have so many friends from my, from like when I was going through elementary and middle school that I wish I could reconnect with, right? That I wish I could talk to again. And it's like unfortunate that I can't. So now whenever I have friends that like I talked to in high school and I was really close with them and the chance to reconnect comes back up, like I take that opportunity because it's like, you know what? Like we were friends before. Why can't we continue being friends? So for me, it's like friendships are kind of like constantly going in and out of each other's lives kind of thing. It's like there's no constant essentially. Like that's kind of how I viewed friendships. So yeah.
And it's thanks to that that I'm here.
That's true. Yeah, actually. So yeah. So I guess like looking at that, like looking at the way like your early friendships played out, like do you guys see how maybe like it affected your friendships later on?
For me, I think I always wore my heart on my sleeve kind of thing. Where I always was very open about who I was as a person. And I felt like that helps me connect with people around me to where like they felt they could be just as open with me in that regard. And so I always like valued friendships because it's like I was always afraid of opening up too much of myself. To the point where I became like the class clown, the entertainer, like just basically kind of doing anything to kind of like make people laugh, make people like smile, make people like kind of like gravitate towards being my friend. And that carried on through high school because Kevin saw about how weird I was, you know, and just how eccentric and outgoing and being very vocal about a lot of things. And I don't know. I think that's just how I've always carried myself. I always had that as an identifier of like who I am as a person. So it was easier for me to be friends if I was the loudest person in the room, because then people could just be like, oh, that guy seems like fun. And then where this friendships better cemented as far as like ones that I cared about were just ones who saw past the loudness and the eccentric part of me and just, you know, kind of got to know me a little bit more as far as my values, things that we shared. Like all my friends in San Francisco, it's very much like where we were comrades in arms. We were all struggling. We were all going through it, trying to make it work in an expensive city. And, you know, it was one of those things where they showed that they cared about me by helping me out in tough spot. Not saying that relationships or friendships are transactional, like, you know, that you can only get back what you put out, like kind of thing. But, you know, I was very grateful for the people who helped me through tough times. And at the same time, like I reciprocated that to them. And that's how I think my friendship has carried over to where I can see the people who don't necessarily like take me for granted, but that, you know, that they do value, you know, what I have to give, and then that it is reciprocated, and that it doesn't always have to be like 50-50 or like, you know, giving back, just enough that I can see that, you know, we'll be lifelong friends. And like that's kind of like how I viewed friendship, different from how Kevin does, where I do agree with the kind of like interweaving, like the coming in, coming out of our lives. Cause you know, there's only so much time that we have now that we're adults, but at the same time, like I always see it as, you know, our friendship can always be put on pause, but I would always love to hear back from you and catch up and see how you're doing and that kind of thing.
I think mine is totally different between Kevin's, like just growing up wise. So for me, it was more of, I went to the elementary school and then my junior high was across the street. And then my high school was like a block away from my junior high. And so I grew up with all my friends going from the same elementary school, say going to the same junior high and he's like going to the same high school. And so like for us, yeah, like one or two would move away. But most of us kind of stuck through all of it. And so, yeah, I'm not close to like 95% of those friends, but like the ones that I still talk to this day. And when we hang out, we sound like boomers, but we like talk about, oh, the good old days, you know, back then, you know, when we used to do this, whatever. Right. But I think like just having that, it's crazy. So for me, it's like, yeah, we lose friends, like not lose friends, but we lose touch, but we're always able to kind of like, when you have that bond with those friends, it goes on kind of forever as long as we put effort into it. And so for me, it's like when I look at friendships, like, yes, you guys are my close friends that I can hang out with, like, basically whenever we want, kind of. But those friends, like we, like my other friends, it's always like we pick up from where we left off, kind of thing, right? It's not like they're always there, like every single day, but it's kind of like, hey, we have this bond and this long friendship that we have, but we can just like catch up and then like keep going. And so for me, it's kind of like a long marathon of like, I think friendships are more like a marathon rather than a sprint. Mm-hmm. And like, I've told people like, oh yeah, I have friends from like elementary school or junior high. And they're like my manager, for example, he kind of moved around a lot like Kevin. And he's like, you're lucky. Like, I don't have any of that because he moved around so many times too. He's like, I have friends, but I don't have friends that I have like history with like 20 plus years with or something like that. So, yeah.
I have one friend that's an example of what Josh just said. She's actually, I call her my childhood friend. And even though we don't talk on a daily basis, like the last time I talked to her was probably more than 6 months ago. But it's like when we do end up talking to each other, it's like we pick up right where we left off. Like nothing's weird. It's just like no time has passed between us. And then from what Damien said, I think I'm kind of similar. Like I wear my heart on my sleeve. So like if I could, like if I talk to someone and like we hang out a couple of times and I could like, you know, feel that person out, and like if I could see or sense that you're genuine about being my friend and like you care for what I care for and that I know that I won't be taken advantage of, then yeah, like we can be friends. Like recently, this is the beginning of the year, I made a friend, and coincidentally we both graduated from the same high school and we both knew each other. Like we've seen each other on campus, but we never actually talked to each other till now because she started dating one of the guys in our friend group. I know, short answer.
No, that's a good answer though.
But yeah, I think I'm very cautious when it comes to me making friends because I don't like to be taken advantage of. Like, don't take my kindness for granted sort of thing. I guess it's this, like, one of the components that I also see in, like, my relationship status, like, with my significant other. Like, don't take me for granted. Sort of thing.
Where do you think that comes from, though, Jackie? Like, the idea of, like, you don't want to be taken for granted. Like, that had to come from, like, that had to be a lesson that you learned somewhere along the way that people took you for granted, right?
I think it came from part of my childhood upbringing. Because the fact that I'm there and that, oh, you're related to me in this sort of way that I'm obligated to do this for you, but you treat me like shit. Sort of thing. So it's like I don't like to be walked all over. Like I take care of other people, but I also do want to be taken care of. So I think that's where it came from.
Yeah, I'll say I think it's interesting for me because like for me, like I used to use the word friends very flippantly. And now I say, like, I know a lot of people. I don't have a lot of friends, though. And I think, like, Josh is very aware of this, but I struggle with this because, like, anytime I go out, I almost always run into somebody I know, like, out in public. And like, I always say hi to them and I always like be like, oh, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah. And usually it's like someone I go to church with, someone I met through the church network, or someone I used to go to high school with like a long time ago. And it's like, oh, like, hey, like, it's been so long, let's catch up. And then we never catch up, right? Because that's what we do as adults. But it's so interesting to me because like friendships used to be a very shallow thing to me, because I went in with the expectation of like, at any moment, like, it's easier for me to get rid of this friendship if it's never that deep to begin with, right? And I think that for the first probably like 5 or 6 years of my friendship with Josh, it was the same way. Like, I was expecting at any minute that like our friendship was just going to be like, yeah, okay, cool, like, see you later, man. But I think that my friendship with Josh is actually the one that taught me like friends stick together. And I got to be careful here because I'm going to get emotional if I talk too much about this. And if I get emotional, Josh will get emotional, and we don't want that. So yeah, I just, it's interesting, right? Like,
we want that.
Yeah. I'm like, everybody's crying today.
No, I refuse to cry.
We're three-dimensional people. We are complicated beings. You can cry. You can be emotional. Come on.
No. I can't talk when I cry.
I'm like, me and Damien already shed some tears today.
But no, I think this, and this isn't in any way supposed to be like a public declaration of my friendship with Josh, right? Or like a public confession of anything. It's just like a, like, I think that when you're like me and you're just used to friendships being shallow and you're just ready for them to end whenever, like, number one, it does take its toll on you in the sense that, like, because you don't develop any deep relationships with people, like, you just kind of are a shallow person. And I think that was kind of the case all through high school, like, for me, where I was just like, the only friend I had in high school, like, in high school, was Andrew, really. And everyone else was just kind of people that I hung out with because of other things, right? But I don't think anybody actually ever knew me in high school except for him. So I kind of feel like he should be here too. But anyway, yeah. And then I think outside of that was Josh, because I think everyone else, like, Josh is the person who, he's the reason why I made other friends at church, because I was very much like a person where I'd go to church, I'd go to service, it would end, and I was out. Like, I was like, nope, I'm done. I don't want to talk to people. But Josh was the person who would be like, oh, like, hey, like, we're hanging out. Like, do you want to come with us? And then I would hang out with them. And because of that, like, I made other friends. And I was like, oh, people hang out with people, like, when they're friends. Like, that was such a foreign concept to me. Like, hanging out with somebody outside of when, like, you just see each other. And that's still kind of a foreign concept to me, which is kind of funny. Because, like, that was something I think Josh and I struggled with in our friendship, where I would never hit him up to hang out. And so, like, I think he just kind of, early on, it was very much like a, dude, how come you never hang out, like, hit me up? It's like, do you not want to hang out with me? And it's like, no, I do. I just don't think about it, you know? So, yeah, I need to stop here because it's getting, I feel the emotions. Yeah. I guess going off of that, I think, you know, we're talking about sort of how our early friendships affected our later friendships and how we view friendships now. And I just, for whatever reason, decided to share my heart out here. I think one thing that I thought about as Jackie was talking was how our family actually affects the way we see friends too. Because like Jackie was talking about, you know, her family relationships and sort of being obligated to do certain things, but being taken advantage of in that sense, affecting the way she sees friendships now, like relationships in general. And also another thing that you touched on was this idea of like, you have a friend from your childhood who you haven't talked to in maybe 6 months, but every time you see her, you guys pick up like nothing ever happened. Like, it's just the distance never changed. And that's very much how I am with Andrew. Like, I don't talk to him every day. I actually talk to his brother more than I talk to him, which is kind of funny. But for him and me, it's the same way. Like, I can go a year or more without talking to him, and every time I see him, it's like, it's good to be back together kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. There's that. And I realized I picked that up from my mom. My mom has the same kind of attitude with as I do, or I guess it's better to say that I have the same attitude as my mom, where for her, friendships are like, they come and go. But she's a little bit different than me in that for her, it's like, once we've made the connection, that never goes away. So to her, like, a lot of her friends are people who she doesn't talk to for months or weeks or years even. But once she does, they pick up like nothing ever happened, like nothing ever changed. And so I think I picked up the kind of like friends come and go thing from her, where it's like the attitude of like, it's okay to let go of your friendships when your life changes, right? But at the same time, when the friendships come back, pick it up as if nothing ever happened. So I'm just wondering, do you guys think that you see... can you see in your friendships the way that like maybe like your family taught you or your family dynamics were?
I can start. For me, I did not realize this growing up, but apparently my family was considered very weirdly very healthy. And what I mean by that is my mom's side, she has like 6 or 7 siblings. Each of those siblings has like 3 or 4 kids. Mm-hmm. And then I'm 1 of 5 as well. And so I already have a close relationship with my siblings. Didn't feel like it growing up because we were always like fighting and butting heads, but we had a close relationship. And then every month, all of my uncles and aunts and my mom would meet at my grandfather's house and would celebrate all the birthdays for the month. It was a way for us to save money by celebrating all the birthdays like in one party. That way it's, you know, a little bit more cost effective. And it was also a way for us to spend time together as family. Mm-hmm. So the way that my family dynamic worked, I kind of always felt like, you know, you were supposed to be meeting people. You're supposed to be hanging out. You're supposed to be gathering and, you know, having a good time with each other. And you're supposed to celebrate the moments such as like birthdays and things like that. And you're supposed to be celebrating like other things. Like, you know, we actually have still to this day, we have a WhatsApp chat with all the uncles, aunts, cousins. Whenever it's a birthday, shoot a message, happy birthday, hope you're doing well. And like, we all still hang out for like holidays, like big holidays now, not necessarily every month, but now we'll meet up for like the bigger holidays. Which reminds me, it's my uncle's birthday. I was supposed to say happy birthday. So I think that carried over to my friendships most definitely, especially when I was in San Francisco and I was on my own, where I think because of that family orientation that I've had, I've kind of viewed my friends as my family in the Bay Area when I didn't have anyone else, because I moved there with no relatives or not knowing anyone. And so it was like, someone's birthday? Let's go out to the bar. It's someone graduated or passed the test? Let's go out to, you know, this restaurant. And you know, we'd always just have like a good time, and then vice versa, like, you know, my friends always or sometimes it didn't even have to be a good occasion. It's just like, hey, I had a really bad day at work. Okay, all right, we're all, you know, just banding together and just taking on the town, you know, this night. So it was just very easy to see how, you know, my family dynamic translated into like me hanging out with, you know, friends, coworkers, like, and having that just be where I've always been inclined to just be there for people. And, you know, for trivial matters or for big celebrations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we definitely see that in our friendship group too. I think Damien's typically the first person to like put things together or to be like, hey, like, let's go out and do this thing. Or like, I think you're especially the person who like pushes the most for us to like celebrate things, you know,
as friend zone hangout.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Damien's always the one that's kind of rallying us and putting us like, you know, saying like, let's hang out, let's do this and that. So I think it's definitely something I appreciate. I think like also is like I said, like I still don't really hit people up to hang out often. It's just like, I think it's just a flaw of mine. I'll work on it, guys. But Damien will randomly call me, and I hate phone calls, by the way, but Damien will randomly call me. He'll be like, hey, how's it going? Just wanted to check on you. And I'm like, oh, like, I appreciate this. Like, this is actually really cool, you know? And then he'll be like, hey, like, thought of you, like, you want to hang out? And so it's like, oh, like, this is really nice, you know? And something like I'm just not used to, like, it's just like, oh, okay. Like, so I think we definitely see that very, very much reflected in our friendship for sure.
Jackie, when there's a moment, I promise I'll do the same thing for you. You're just-
honestly, like, I'm just so far. Like, I don't really have any, like, friends that close to me. But I think, because I'm like, who hits me up to hang out? Besides you guys, but, like, I make a mission out there.
I was going to say, I remember, like, twice where I was in your hood, and then, like, it was, like, me and Kayla. And I was like, Jackie, are you working today? Which location? I'll stop by. And then you're like, I'm networking.
Yeah.
I think with that, the new friend I made at the beginning of the year, she lives maybe, like, 25 minutes away. Maybe 30.
That's much better than the 1.5 hour that we are.
Yeah, the only people close to me is her, my boyfriend.
Mm.
I guess our group of friends. But, like, I don't hang out with them with the, I don't hang out with them without him.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's us girls going to the gym, then different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, Jackie's turning into a buff girl.
2 months in. And progress has shown, so.
I guess for me, like, my, I didn't think about it until you asked this question. And then while you guys were talking, I was like, okay, how does my family, like, my upbringing really affect my friendships, or, like, how I look into friendships? And, like, I was like, oh, it's clear. My parents have friends that they've hung out with since they were in their 20s, and now they're in their 50s right now, and they still hang out. And they go camping all the time. And growing up, I still remember going to, like, their houses all the time. And, like, you know, when I get older, like, I don't want to go because, like, you know, I'm cool, right? And, like, but I mean, like, I remember always going to my parents' friend's house and always hanging out. Or, like, they would always have a get together. Like, it was pretty often, but I don't really recall, like, when it was when I was a kid. Like, but it was pretty often where we would go to someone's house, they would all drink, hang out, and then, like a couple weeks later, we'll go again and stuff like that. And so I think for me, it's like seeing, I guess, subconsciously, like, seeing that growing up, basically, that's how I translate all my friendships too, right? Because my parents came to the United States, well, my dad came when he was 17, and he has friends that he has since 17 years old. Like, they went to high school together, and they still talk to each other. And so for me, I'm like, holy crap, that's crazy. And the fact that, you know, they're in their 50s and they're, like, still hanging out with them. They go camping without me all the time. Like, they freaking leave me at home, and then they go camping for, like, they went camping for, like, 3 weeks straight once, or 2 weeks straight. They, like, totally just left me. I was like, all right, that's cool. So, like, I think that's cool, like, to see that, like, and how they enjoy their friendships. And, like, even their kids, we're all kind of like, well, Kevin knows him, but, like, I grew up with a family friend, and he's, like, 2 years younger than me, and I still talk to him to this day. Like, we don't hit each other up all the time, but when we do, it's like, oh, remember when we were kids? Like, because I remember, like, getting bathed with him when I was a baby, and, like, or, like, when we're growing up and stuff. So, like, you know, like, I still remember, like, not remember, I still remember the friendships that they have. And so I think that definitely translates for me, because, like, I've known Kevin. I knew Kevin since fourth grade, but we didn't get close until, like, high school. And that's still, like, 15 years ago, right? So,
yeah. As we so, you know, strongly put it to Damien a couple episodes ago.
No comment.
Yeah. No, also, I think it's important to point out, you know, Josh said that, you know, we've known each other since fourth grade, but we didn't get close until high school. I think it's important to point that we actually strongly disliked each other in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. I hate you, Kevin.
Yeah, because we were just very different people. Like, Josh was, like, that cool kid. Like, he, you know, rode skateboards, listened to hip hop and all that stuff, you know, wore baggy jeans. And I was just a weird kid. I still am, but
still weird. Yes.
Yeah. But I was weirder, so actually it's debatable. Am I weirder now, or was I weirder as a kid? Debatable. But yeah, we just were two opposites that, like, just could not get along. And then I think one thing is, like, as we got older, you know, you just kind of, like, the more time you spend around somebody, the more similar you become to each other. So, like, I toned it down, and Josh became cornier. So, you know, meet halfway. Like, now Josh will make jokes, and I'll be like, dude, that's a joke I would make. Like, what is going on? So, yeah, I think it's interesting to see how, like, friendships change us, too. I wanted to do this because I think, you know, we keep talking about friendship and, like, our personal experiences with friendship. I want to kind of zoom out for a moment. And, you know, friendship is a universal experience. Everyone has friends to some degree, or everyone would like to experience what friendship means. And so I think people for a long time have tried to capture what it means, what is friendship and what makes friendship so important to us, right? So I have some quotes that I'd like to share with you guys, and I want to hear your thoughts on them. Sound good?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So the first one is, friendship is not about who you've known the longest. It's about who came into your life and showed you that they were there to stay.
I have a question.
Do you agree?
I agree.
Are these like the Instagram reels you send me?
I wouldn't say so. Some of them are, but like, I think the Instagram reels are more about like, hey, bro, I love you. So, yeah.
Sorry. I know it was like a serious topic.
Like, no, it's good. It's all good.
But yes, I agree. I think definitely that's when your friendships like make that stamp and it's like time stamped. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing.
Okay. Anybody else want to elaborate on why they agree with the quote?
Because they chose to stay in your life because they care about you. Mm. Aww.
Jackie's gonna cry, dude. She's gonna cry.
If you say I'm gonna cry, I'm gonna cry.
That's my point. I want to make you cry. Cry.
So I agree with that because it's basically indicating that you stay friends as a choice, not because it's only good times, that there's also going to be tough times that you're going to go through with your friendship. But at the end of the day, you value that person enough to still want to keep them in your life. Huh. Like, one person that comes to mind for me is actually my friend Jeremy, who is one of my best men. He and I have gone through so much together. I think at this point, 11 years of being friends. Basically, he was the first friend / older brother figure I made when I moved to San Francisco, mm-hmm. where he was also at first my boss. But then, you know, he was like I was just like a store associate. He was like my key holder, or like, you know, the opening person. And he kind of took me under his wing, and we've gone through different phases of like our friendship, you know, where, you know, he was like a mentor to me. He would drift apart, we would come back to work together. Then now having it to be where we were roommates, and we've gone through so many phases of life. And there are times where it was really easy to be his friend. There are times where it was really tough to be his friend. And I'm pretty sure there was times where it was tough for me to be his friend. You know, but through all of that, we still, at the end of the day, knew that I was down to do anything or be there for him in any way that I can. And, you know, he always took care of me in that same way. So I would say that when I hear that quote that you said, he was actually the first person who came to mind for me.
Okay. All right. The next quote is, there's this thought, I guess it's not a quote, but it's more of a thought, right? That we can never be more than the five closest people to us. It's this idea of like, if the five people closest to you are all committed to growing together, then you will grow together. But if the five people closest to you are stuck in the same loop of kind of just being in the same cycle of patterns, then you'll never be able to break out of that on your own.
Hmm. Somewhat agree.
It's kind of like similar meaning to the last one. Kind of.
I'm confused.
It's this idea that like the five people closest to us hold the most influence over us and over the trajectory of our path.
Mm.
So if, like, for example, like the five people closest to you are, I don't want to, like, you know, like talk about a specific lifestyle and say like this lifestyle will drag you down, you know, but it's like, okay, like let's say, for example, all five of the closest people to you are like really heavy gamblers, right? They're just addicted to gambling. Then it's like you as the sixth person in that group would have a really hard time doing anything that's not gambling because the five people closest to you are all stuck in this lifestyle. So then you'll naturally be kind of sucked into it.
Mm.
And so it's this idea that like the five people closest to you determine essentially the trajectory of your path. So it's like, but if the five people closest to you are all determined to growing together and all determined to, like, you know, realizing their best selves, then all five of you or all five plus you will move together, kind of thing.
So the reason why I say I somewhat agree to that is because it is a common, it is a thing where, like, if you want to know who a person is, just look at their friends. And that's the best way for you to kind of determine how a person is. Because even though they may have some differences, for the most part, you kind of surround yourselves with like-minded people. Mm-hmm. What I would say is the one caveat to the growth aspect of the quote that Kevin just said is, I don't think it necessarily needs to take all five people, but necessarily just like a couple to kind of like shift that growth. Mm. And it's like one of those things where I think this is where, you know, people grow, you know, up with friends and people also grow out of being friends at the same time, mm-hmm. you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, not everyone's going to carry on the same path as you. There are naturally people who are going to diverge from you because they're in a different mindset or in a different place and aren't able to match the life things that you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that I do agree with the part that, you know, it's possible for the person who does have that growth to inspire the rest of the group to grow. So, mm-hmm. like, for me, for example, like, when I got married, all of my friends started saying, like, huh, Damien did it. Marriage doesn't seem that scary. Maybe I could start seeing that a little bit more in my immediate future. Like, a couple of my Bay Area friends have basically talked to me about how they're like, you know, seeing you go through what you've gone through, like, marriage before or proposing before would seem like a kind of like something far off in the distance. They know it would be there in their game plan, but they kind of see it. They didn't see it necessarily happening anytime soon. But the moment that it happened with me, they're like, you know what? This seems more realistic now. Like, mm-hmm. now that it's like up in my face, and now that I've kind of been able to be a part of that experience. So that is why I kind of like somewhat agree with that.
Sure. Okay. Any additional thoughts, Jackie, Josh?
I think I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I think I agree with Damien of like, I think when one or two people make a decision in the group or like change in the group kind of does change. So yes, in a way it does answer that question of like, yeah, like your group of friends will determine what, you know, like what you, how you are. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, not, yeah, like kind of what Damien said, I don't think all five have to change. I think mm-hmm. like one or two will definitely get the ball rolling for the group of friends to change in a way. So,
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, I don't, like, you know, these aren't quotes that I'm bringing to you guys saying like I 100% agree with them, right? It's just like, oh, this is something I saw, therefore I want to share it and like see like what do you guys think about it. I will say,
for thought. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will say that I think that I definitely feel the quote in the sense of like the people around you can really bring you down, because since I started hanging out with you guys, I got back into League, and that really dragged me down, guys.
He says that and he's about to play League with us right after this.
Yeah, so okay, we'll move on. There's this one more quote, and this is one I saw recently. So it goes, every person needs three friends, one to laugh with, one to cry with, and one to grow with. And if you find that in, if you find all three in one person, you found your best friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Okay. With that quote, it made me think of, oh, like, this is different, really. This is your relationship. You're with your significant other. You cry, laugh, and grow with them. Because technically, your significant other is most likely your best friend as well.
I was going to say, I immediately thought of Kayla.
Yeah, like, I thought of Clinton. I'm like, obviously, Dan would think of Kayla. And then you two thought of your significant others, hopefully.
I thought of Kevin. I'm not gonna lie. That's why I said, I guess.
I initially shared this with Amanda, that quote, and she was like, yeah, like, I agree, like, that is something we found in each other, but I also would say that it's something that I also share the sentiment with Josh, with Damien, and with Jackie, and with, like, everyone in our group. Maybe not so much the crying part. I don't like crying, but in terms of, like, I look at it more as, like, right, you laugh with people when you're going through good times. You cry with them when you're struggling, and then you grow with them because you commit to it together. And so it's the idea less of, like, actually laughing and crying, and more, are we going through the joys and the struggles of life together? And I think that's very much something that, you know, we all share and we all do together. And so that's what that quote made me think of. And yeah, so.
But not, so not literally, but figuratively.
Mm-hmm. Metaphorically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like I said, like, I don't like crying, and I have no intention of ever crying in front of you guys. So, like, it was like, have I found friends to cry with? Well, I'm sure if it got to that point, I could cry with you guys and feel very comfortable in our friendship and it remaining the same, right? But at the same time, it's like, I don't want to cry. So I'd rather look at it as, like, do I want to struggle with you guys? So.
Let it be known, I am making this episode my official declaration that I will get Kevin to cry with me.
I've done all three with you guys, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've definitely all laughed together.
We've laughed together. I have cried with you guys.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that we've all grown as people since we became friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I would say, Damien, I don't know, ask Josh. Josh, how hard do you think it is to make me cry?
I don't try to make you cry, so.
I know, but, like, you know, like, you've known me the longest, you know.
Did we talk about this recently? Because one of our friends mentioned, like, oh, you don't cry in front of me, but I always cry in front of you, whatever. Blah, blah,
oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, I don't think I even see Kevin cry. And Kevin's like, yeah, I think I cried, like, once. But I don't remember it, so.
Yeah,
but it's very hard to see. Kevin will cry over movies more than, like, emotionally cry because he's sharing something.
Yeah, I think the last time I, like, genuinely cried was when I watched an anime movie. So, yeah, I don't really cry, like, when I'm struggling. It's just more like a, like, it's like you do that very, like, that, like, alpha male meme thing where it's like. All right, we keep going, kind of thing, you know? Just take a deep breath, sigh, and then it's like, all right, let's keep going.
Me, on the other hand, I've gotten drunk plenty of times to where I've cried drunkenly, sobbed into my own hands.
Yeah.
Alcoholic tears.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm sure Peter is right there with you, you know? So Peter's out here catching a stray bullet from us.
He's not even here to defend himself.
Yeah.
Like, the last time I cried, like tears ran down my face, like, crying, was when I watched that last episode of Demon Slayer, the new season. I was falling. And then, like, because I watched it at my aunt's house when I was in Texas. And then, like, they made, like, 40 pounds of crawfish. And, like, it was done. And I was like, I have to finish just watching this before I can go eat. And then after it's all over and everything, there's still, like, tears dripping down my face, but I'm just eating crawfish.
I was just as choked up as Tanjiro. Like, I was just like,
All right, guys, no spoilers. No spoilers on the podcast.
All right, all right.
But I think, like, a cry that I was crying and I was, like, upset cry, I think I probably called Josh.
Ooh.
Josh was, like, the first one I called. It was, like, I was upset.
I was watching UFC.
Yeah, he was like, I'm watching a match right now. I'm watching a fight.
Why am I not surprised?
But I stepped out. Kevin was there too. I stepped out. And I was on the phone with her. I cried that night too because Korean Zombie got his ass whooped. So
different kinds of tears. Come on, Josh.
Yeah. I cried though. I was like, oh shoot.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, we're getting past an hour here at this point. So I guess we should start wrapping it up. If you could boil down the meaning of friendship into a sentence or a few, how would you guys explain it? Like someone says, hey, what does friendship mean to you?
Oh, I got this one. I don't have friends. I have family.
I knew you were going to say that.
Wow. You guys think I'm joking? I'm being serious right now. I hate you guys.
That is perfectly on brand for Josh, though.
Perfectly on brand for Josh.
Where's the corona?
I don't know where it is.
Love you long time.
Okay, long time. No matter how cheesy that is, that's how I feel, though, honestly. Like, I think my closest friends, yes, you guys are, like, they're my closest friends, but I also think of them as family. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm not just stealing the quote from Fast and Furious, but, like, honestly, for me, it's... I think going back to the last quote you said, where you laugh, where you cry, and you grow together, I think all my closest friends, for sure... I probably cried in front of them, and I definitely laughed in front of them, and we definitely grown. So I think for me, that's also a part for me where, like, I keep everyone really close, as like close as family. And for me, it's because I'm an only child. I don't have brothers and sisters. So like, I really think of my close friends as like my brothers and sisters too. So like, for me, that's how I kind of, you know, like, think of friends. Like, I know it's super cheesy, but I'm being serious right now. So, because like Kevin, like, I've known him for so long. I've known him for 14 years. Yeah, we're the same age. I'm a few months older than him, but I really, and we got an argument of this, but this is a while ago, but I really think of Kevin as like my younger brother. And so, like, yeah, let's not get emotional, but yes, in that way, like, all my close friends, I really feel like they're family to me and like brothers and uh-huh. sisters.
Uh-huh. It's okay, Josh. I thought of the same thing. I was like, family.
Why did I go first?
He was like this. He was like, I got this.
Imagine this is a corona right here.
Josh just needs that bald head, like the plaster thing, to be like Vin Diesel.
Hey, there's your Halloween costume, Josh.
Oh, please, please. You gotta wear a white tank top too.
No one wants to see that.
Just have a corona in your hand and just be like family all night long.
Family.
No one wants to see me in a white tank top. We good.
We want to see it for the Halloween costume for sure.
No, I'll go get like tan.
Mm-hmm. Little spray tan for you.
Yeah. Or the tan lotion, you know? Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
You can't copy my answer, okay?
Oh. Okay, hold on. hold on. I'm like, how can I rephrase that? I'm just like,
I guess just say it the way that you would say it. What exactly it means to you won't be the same as what exactly it means to Josh.
She don't got friends, she got family.
Friendship to me is, I'm like, what's the word? I'm trying to make it sound
deep.
Not deep. I'm trying to make it make sense. I'm like, what? I'm trying to pull grammar out of my head. Well, obviously, like, my friendships, I would hope that the feelings mutual between each other, and that, like, when I do say love you long time, like, I do mean it, you know? Like, I hope that you will allow me to be stuck with you in your life for the rest of both of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even after, I'm like, even after we die, I'm like, you're stuck with me for, like, all eternity. Like, once you pick me to be your friend, I want to be there forever. Because ending friendships, or, like thinking of people that you've had friendship with before and you thought it was, like, oh, we're going to be friends. Like, I can see, like, us being friends in the future, but then finding out that you aren't. And to find people that welcome you into their lives as welcoming as you are to them, it's nice. And it's, like, something that you don't want to give up. So, yeah, like, it's another, like, I guess, sense of Josh's word family. But it's, like, I do really appreciate everyone of my friends that have accepted me into their lives. Yeah, I think that's a, like, since I can't copy Josh's answer.
No, I was kidding.
Okay, Damien?
I think for me, the thing that Kevin sent to me on Instagram today actually sums it up pretty well as far as, like, how I value friends. I understand that priorities in life shift. As much as I cherish my friendship with you guys, and contradictory to what I was saying, like, earlier, I think I actually hold a very similar view to Kevin, where I understand that there is this concept that life is fleeting, that sometimes without any ill will or meaning to, people kind of drift in and drift out. But I think friendship to me will always be the memories. And oh god, it'll be the times that I can hold them close. Shit.
You're gonna make me cry. I'm already tearing it up.
As long as I can look back on them fondly. Fondly. That's all that matters.
Good job. You did it. And, like, honestly, to the listeners, because we can see each other, so it's like I'm gonna cry more. I could see Damien crying. So it's like, oh, I'm tearing up.
I want to say more, but that's all I can get out right now.
What about you, Kev? What's your answer? Time for you to get emotional. You asshole.
I'm like, you better cry.
Yeah. To me, friendship, I there's this illustration. It's like this, like, really cliche Christian thing of, like, footprints in the sand, where it's like you walk with Jesus along a beach, and when you look back, there's a period of life where there's only one footprint in the sand, but those are the moments in which he's carrying you. I kind of want to steal for that illustration for a moment and think of it as, like, there are times when like, we're walking along in this life and our friends are with us, they're right next to us, and we're journeying together. And those are always the moments that I will look back on and think, like, I miss these days. I'll always miss, like, the days when, like, things were, when you feel like things were at their best, you'll always miss those days, right? Like, when things were at their closest, when everyone felt like they were on, like, just going through life together. But then sometimes you'll look back and you'll realize that there were times of life where maybe not necessarily that you were walking alone, but that the footprints were a little further apart because life just kind of pulled you guys apart. And it's those moments that I think we have to kind of not force ourselves, but really try a little harder to remember just as fondly as remember the times when we're close. Because just because we're apart doesn't mean that there's any less doesn't mean that there's any less love between each other. And if anything, like, the further apart we get, the more fondly we can remember when we were together. So to me, friendship is always going to be the ins and outs of life and the times that maybe I leaned on someone a little more heavily and I needed their support. And there are times when people leaned more heavily on me because they needed my support. And there are times when we walked together equally and kind of facing life struggles together. And all of that is what friendship is. Like, friendship, you can't take just the good parts of friendship and say, that's all I want from my friendships. Friendship is, just like we said, it's laughing, it's crying, and growing. And I think one thing that's kind of a part of that is also that when you're growing with someone, growing is never easy. And so you go through life laughing and crying together and struggling hard to keep moving forward. And I think that's what friendship is it's the people who come alongside you and say, let's do this together, because life's not easy. So it'll be easier if we're carrying each other's burdens. So, yeah, that's what friendship means to me.
And the Tony Award goes to...
I don't even know what Tony Award is for. Isn't that for musicals?
No, I thought that was for... Is it for musicals?
I don't know. Because then Oscars is for movies, Grammys is for music. I thought Tony's was for musicals and, like, theater.
I thought Tony's was, like theater, but also, like, television. But basically, for best speech / monologue, this Tony Award goes to...
I know. Yeah. So good. Aww.
Hey. Mine was good too. What the hell?
Everyone's was good.
Yours is copyrighted, Josh.
No, it's not.
Okay. Yeah, we're getting pretty long, so we'll close it here. I would like to close it by explaining the title for this episode. You know, we've been spending this entire hour talking about friendship and what it means to us. And this episode is going to be titled Friendship is Five. There's four of us in this room, but this whole podcast, none of it matters without you, the listener. And so that's what Friendship is Five means. It's us four plus you. And so I just want to take this time to personally thank whoever is listening for continuing to support us and continuing to listen. I think we started this with the idea of wanting to be a podcast where people could come together and not feel alone. We did this during COVID when people were separated, and we just wanted people to feel like they could be with their friends again. And we're continuing that mission. We're continuing that journey. And if we've helped anyone along the way, then that's wonderful. But I think, honestly, this podcast has done more for me than it has done for probably anybody else. And so I'm really thankful to anybody who continues to support us and continues to give us their time and listens to what we have to say. Because sometimes we're really stupid. And sometimes we get really deep. But for the most part, we're just ourselves. And so if there's anything we can leave it with, is thank you for being a part of this. This isn't even a goodbye episode, but it feels like it.
It sounds like we're breaking up, dude. Yeah.
Okay.
It is a thank you for choosing to listen to Just Friend Zone and coming in, listening to us and what we have to say. And I hope that all our listeners have a good time.
So with that being said, we'll see you next time, and bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.